we could add to that. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Amen.
Good evening. Good to see everybody here tonight. I messaged Stacy with the title of the sermon so she could put it in the bulletin, The Fallen Leaf. She messaged me back and said, I can't wait to hear it. And I messaged her back, and I said, me neither. Most of you know that, you know, I put a sermon together. I have an outline, and I've never given it until I give it to you guys. So it's always an experience, and sometimes there's things that pop into my head, and you get little freebies along the way, and that's okay too. So tonight we're going to talk about the fallen leaf first, and then we're going to talk about two different sections of this sermon. There was a day last fall, I was standing outside. I was taking in all the beauty of the flowers, the yards, the skyline, you know, that we have here in Vegas. It's beautiful. God's picture is something that you can't take away from us. And I noticed a leaf had come detached from the branch it was, you know, clinging to. And as it fell to the ground, it just kind of nonchalantly waved back and forth in the air until it reached the ground. And I, not giving much more attention to it, it just laid there. Then a gust of wind came along and swept it away. And I was watching that leaf, and I thought to myself, I wonder what happened to that leaf. Where did it go? I suppose it decayed away somewhere. Kind of a sad ending for the leaf. You guys know me well enough to know that sometimes my mind just goes off into Never Never Land. Mm-hmm. And, you know, stand out in the yard and watch this leaf come detached from the branch and just float through the air and land on the ground and blow away, that it caught me and made me think about something. As we go through life, it's been compared to four different seasons. We have spring for our youth and younger years, summer for young adulthood, fall for the middle-aged people, and winter for the senior years. That leaf was in its senior years. And finally, after holding on as long as it could to the branch, its life was over. The Bible tells us that life here on earth is as short as life of a vapor, meaning it doesn't last long. We hold on as long as we can, but eventually we're going to be like that leaf and leave life behind. So what do we do while we're here is what matters. Are we so tied up with ourselves and our own lives that we have no time for anyone else? No love for others? No care for others? Not doing what God wants? No consideration for the elderly, no consideration for the homeless, and you can add to that list. It goes on and on and on. The world today tends to care about themselves. It's all about me. There's going to come a day, one day, kids are going to say, grandparents and parents won't be there anymore, and you'll wonder why. And then you're going to ask yourself, why didn't I? And you can fill in the blank. Or maybe not. Maybe it won't matter. So I've been in the church for 58 years. I was baptized when I was 16. I've seen a lot of people come and go, just like that leaf falling off the tree and withering away. There's those that have died a physical death, those who have died a spiritual death. I've been guilty of not contacting some of those that left the church. And we've all been in that position. Somebody just folds away and we don't think anything more about it, just kind of like the leaf. But they left the church and I never asked why. Just, it happened. What happened to them? Where did they go? It seems like they're kind of like that leaf. They just reached the end, swayed back and forth, and as they fell away from the vine, and then just went away. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And tonight what I want to talk about, there's two different parts to this sermon. One I want to talk about is ways not to drift away, And what I want to talk about is the causes that lead to drifting away. Preston's touched on one of the passages that I want to use tonight in Bible class, so we'll not get into that real deep. We've already been there, but it's one that I want to use. First of all, I want to look at causes that lead to drifting away. And I want to start in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. A letter that Paul had written to the church in Ephesus. Chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, he says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." He's talking about the outside world. He's talking about you walking right. He's talking about don't become too busy, redeeming the time. One of the causes, I think, that leads to drifting away is that we tend to get busy, or at least we think we're busy. And we get so busy that we let that take over our lives, whether it be with family, whether it be in business, maybe it's sports, it doesn't matter what it is, but we become too busy. One of the ways of drifting away is to let that overcome what your priority is supposed to be. 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. John says, "Do not love the world or things in the world." That's a command. "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's one of the stronger verses in the New Testament, as far as I'm concerned. Because we have a tendency to love what's going on in the world. John said, "Do not love the world, do not love the things of the world. If anyone loves that world, the love of the Father is not in him." Easy way to drift away. Easy way to take God out of life and put world in life. We become too enamored with what's going on around us. We become too involved with worldly things. Another cause that will lead to drifting away, loving what the world has to offer. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. This kind of goes hand in hand with the love of the world. He tells Timothy, this is a verse we're all familiar with, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Chasing the dollar. Becoming too enamored with the fact that I got to have this and I got to have that. I got to keep up with the Joneses. Have to have nicer cars. Have to have a nicer home. Nicer clothes. Tends us to let greed take over our life and replace that with God. If you want to study into the New Testament a little further into what greed is, it's a false god. It will replace where your mind is supposed to be. We're looking for that abundance is what we're looking for. More than what we actually need, but at the same time, it's what we want. God provides for us. We have an abundance of blessings given to us every day. If you don't believe it, look around your own life. We have nice homes. We have food on the table. We have clothes on our back. We've got nice cars. All these things. But yet a lot of people want more. That leads to greed. Leads to the love of money. Money's not the root of evil. It's the love of that money that is the root of the evil. And abundance. We just can't sometimes get enough. Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews I'm getting ahead of you a little bit now, Preston. Hebrews 12:1 talks about, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us is this whole map that God has laid out with the New Testament. Mm-hmm. That's the race we're running. That's the endurance that we need to run with. And what this writer is telling us here in this verse is we drift away because we get sin in our lives. And that sin sometimes can cause us to feel guilty. And if you're feeling guilty about sin in your life, sometimes it's hard to walk in those doors out there and come into a worship service. You get to the point where, you know, I'm just not worthy to be there. I'm so tied up with this sin, and it's overtaken my life, and I'm having so much fun, and I don't want to go back to worship because I just don't feel good being there. It's a, you know, what we refer to as a guilt trip. You put it on yourself. That will cause us to drift away. We've been through a lot in our lives, and I've talked about it before, the last couple of years. Been tough on a lot of people. With the pandemic, with being cooped up at home, we hear it in the news almost daily, if you want to listen to the news, about, you know, the problems in the classroom, the problems with kids, the mental stress that has been put on everybody. Those stresses are the kinds of things that we're talking about that will cause one to drift away. Trials of life get to us. I don't care how strong we are, there are times in our life where it just gets us down. What do you do about it? You go to God in prayer. You talk to Him. Open up the Word and let Him talk to you. We have an example of this discouragement, these trials. If you look at an example of Peter walking on water, all was good, right? And then he took his eyes off Christ. And he put his eyes on the waves beneath him. What happened? He sunk. He lost the faith. He lost the trust in Christ. He lost his eyes on where he should have been focused and put it on something else. That's a lot of times what happens when people quit coming to worship service. When people quit serving their God, they've got their eyes on something else and not on Christ. And quite simply, you know, in our lives, in these trials, when the clouds grow dark and the trials of life become fierce, and again, we've been there. That's the time to run to Christ, not from Him. Be careful of these things. And this is just a small list of things that cause drifting away. Disinterest. Well, where's that disinterest come from? It comes from outside force. It comes from worldly pleasures a lot of times. But we can go on and list a whole bunch of stuff. You guys have all seen people that have fallen away. Everybody has their excuse that they think are reasons. And yet, when it comes right down to it, they've refocused their mind. It's not on Christ, just like Peter. They got to watching the waves underneath them. We look at some ways not to drift away. Let's start in Matthew. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 10 through 13. It reads this way, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he endures to the end shall be saved. Well, is that not what's going on today? It's just almost a picture of what we look out into the world today. Many will be offended. Well, that offends me. I mean, you hear that word over and over and over. They'll betray one another. We're not going to stay loyal to one another. It's all about me. And they'll hate one another. We've got a hate going on in this world today that I've never seen before in the 74 years of my life. That's because the focus is on something else and not on God. Then there'll be many false prophets will rise up. Why have we got hundreds or thousands of different religious congregations, religious sectors? Why has that happened if there's not false prophets and many that are being deceived? Again, it's that focus that we've gotten away from. And because lawlessness will abound, that's God's law, the love of many will grow cold. Because of all these things, the love for God will grow cold. And then he says in verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. What does that word endure mean? It means keep your focus on God. It means not straying away. It means not letting your mind get off into some of these places that will make you or let you drift away. Ways not to drift away. Endure to the end. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 9:24-27. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and you're aware that this first letter that he wrote to the church, he was not a happy camper. There was a lot of things going on in the church that he was not happy about. He writes in verse 24, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? All right? We're aware of that. Any of us watch track or anything? Everybody runs. But one who receives the prize, that's the first place prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. What does that mean? That means run that race that we're running as far as Christianity is concerned so that you can win it. Nice thing about that race is everybody that does what they're supposed to do wins the prize, not just one person. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. That's our crown of life. Therefore, I run this, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. He's not just shadow boxing when it comes to God's word. But I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He's laying a law down to these people in Corinth that says you need to run a race. The race that you're running is the Christian race. The race you're running for the prize is your home in heaven. Take care of what you're doing. Don't get off the track. Bring discipline to your life. Paul says, I preach to others. I myself should become disqualified. He doesn't want to become disqualified. Paul has his focus where it needs to be. And we're aware, you know, throughout Paul's letters, he sets credibility for himself so that nobody can question where he's coming from or what he's preaching. And he's basically telling them, you do like I do. Stay the course. Don't let your mind become corrupted. Run the race to be a winner. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. This is the second letter now. He's a little more calmed down now. And he writes in verse 3, he says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, we all know that story, so your minds may be corrupted from simplicity that is in Christ. Don't let somebody deceive you. Don't let your mind be corrupted by some outside force. Don't be like Eve and the serpent. Don't let into that craftiness. And we saw it back up causes of drifting away with the false teaching that goes on. Be careful. Don't let your minds become corrupted. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 1. First Timothy 4, verse 1. This is Paul talking to Timothy, as well as to us. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, that's the days we're living in now, some will depart from faith. Yeah? They do. We've all seen it happen. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Again, I ask the question, why are there thousands of different religious sects out there? Paul's very plain in what he teaches in Ephesians. There's one church, one faith, one hope, one body, one God, one baptism. Why are there so many? Because we give in to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. We give in to man. We give in to the opinions that man has. And some of these guys that do that are really good salesmen. If you don't believe me, go on the internet and just take a sector and look at the women's role in a church. And you want to talk about being deceived. And these guys are really good at selling what they're selling. So we have to be careful about what's going on, and not only in the outside world, but in our own church, in Christ's church. Because I guarantee you, today somewhere, there was false teaching coming out of a podium. Somebody saying something that's not according to God's word, been twisted, turned enough that it's still acceptable because that's what the congregation wanted to hear, not what they needed to hear. Don't depart from your faith. 1 Timothy 4:16. He goes on to tell Timothy, he said, take heed to yourself, pay attention to you and to the doctrine. That's God's word. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. One more time. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Pay attention to God's word. Pay attention to what you're doing, what you're saying, and what you're coming across. Continue in them. All right, you're doing good. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to the doctrine. Take heed to what you're teaching and preaching to others. Because it will save you and it will save them. Hebrews 3, we hit this last week and this morning. We're going to hit it one more time tonight because I had it written down. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. And I didn't want to take it out of the sermon because it's an important passage. The writer says, beware. That's a strong word. And that's a command. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, he not only says a heart of unbelief, but that becomes an evil heart in unbelief, in departing from the living God. You're going to walk away? Writer here is saying you've got an evil heart. Don't let that happen. Beware. And now he tells you how to not let that happen. He says, exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The writer's here saying, don't have an evil heart. Don't depart from God. Exhort one another. Build each other up. Fellowship one another. If we don't ever fellowship with fellow Christians, guess what will happen? Eventually, you're going to buy into what's going on. I had a preacher tell me one day, he said, you keep going to the barbershop, one day you're going to get a haircut. You keep dealing with the world, you keep dealing with sin, one day you're going to be part of it. You can't lose focus on what's going on. I'll get these separate. We're going to come back to Hebrews in a second, but I want to go to 2 Peter 2, 20 and 22. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. Peter writes here, he says, for if, and he's back to doing what Paul did, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. He's saying, all right, you overcame these pollutions and then you went back to them. The latter is worse than the beginning. For if you have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to wallow in the mire. They once were okay, the dog and the sow. Who Peter's talking about here were once okay. And then they returned back. The message here is don't get entangled with the pollution of the world. And we've talked about that tonight. The things that go out into the world, they're very enticing. They're very inviting. Peter's saying don't get entangled with that pollution. Don't go back to the life that you were living before you became a Christian. Now I end this up with Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, because again, this is a powerful passage that this writer in Hebrews is putting across. We've covered so far in class that there's two very important messages in Hebrews. One is that Jesus is more powerful and sits higher than anything else, including the angels. And the other is stay focused and don't drift away. Two main things that we've seen so far in the class. If you're not attending that class, I suggest you do. It's a good class. Hebrews is a tremendous letter to study. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. This writer says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. This writer is saying it's impossible to get them back. Since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened. I'll go this way. I'm like Bruce, I don't really want to argue with scriptures, but I've seen people come back. The impossibility here is when it gets into defaming Christ, the blasphemy that comes along with that. This section is saying don't fall away. That's the easiest thing to do. Just don't fall away. Then you don't have to deal with it. If you do fall away, it's really hard to renew those who do. My own opinion, I don't think it's impossible. But if they get to the point where what this writer is talking about and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of God, if they fall away, to renew them, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God, they've gone further than just falling away. We don't want to be like that leaf. We don't want to just fall away from the branch, fall away from the vine, and drift away. Don't let your spiritual life nonchalantly just float away on you. Cling on to Jesus. Cling on to that vine, and you won't die spiritually. God promised us that if we keep his commands, he will provide a place for us in heaven. We can live with him for eternity there, never to die again. We want to live this life that's been given us on earth. But don't forsake yourself from loving those who mean the most. Don't forsake yourself, and above all, don't forsake God and the commands to do right. Keep your focus where it needs to be. Run the race, win the prize. That's the home in heaven. If there's any here this evening that need the prayers of this congregation, or for some reason you have not been baptized and you need to be, now would be the time to do that as we stand and sing the invitation song.